This episode of the Ethicist Podcast is brought to you by Voice Activated Sync, available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
With the Ethicist, I'm Randy Cohen. Letter number one.
My husband donated time and money to computerize a public middle school teacher's successful remedial math program. It is up and running in that teacher's classroom. A number of people, including that school's principal, have come to see it in action and are interested in using it in their private and public school classrooms. This teacher would be pleased to sell it to them and other math teachers. May this public school classroom ethically be a showroom for interested visitors. Name withheld, New Mexico.
It may not. This is a classroom, not a showroom. These are students, not a focus group. In middle school, all interested visitors are disturbing, or at least distracting. Even if the customers, sorry, pedagogic observers, enter on little cat feet, the kids will notice, and their attention and learning will be at least momentarily ruffled. It's a fine thing that this teacher and your husband voluntarily developed a promising teaching tool, but there are better ways to involve the students. One approach, make participation a voluntary after-school activity. They might, for example, work with the school's math club, securing parental consent to enlist those kids as guinea pigs in their attempts to develop the computerized math genius of tomorrow. Will chips be implanted in anyone's head? Does this involve biotech advances to grow a second head? Will I get a share of the profits for suggesting the whole second head idea? The question of profits is not trivial. If a school's resources, that classroom, those students, are used to develop a commercial product, then the school should share in any profits, as of course should your husband. This and other issues in bringing a product to market, particularly dicey when children and a public school are involved, should be resolved openly and in advance, not squabbled over after the fact. The teacher did the right thing by being transparent about his activities. The principal knew about this project and gave at least tacit permission to proceed. And it's great for the school to be a hotbed of innovation. But that's the optimistic version of this situation. What if this computerized system does not abet learning? Then the volunteer design team squandered class time and disadvantaged the students. Rather than allowing such experiments on an ad hoc basis, school authorities must develop formal policies to govern such activities.
This episode of the Ethicist Podcast is brought to you by Voice Activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system which gives you voice control of your Bluetooth-enabled mobile phone and most MP3 players. And Sync features turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, real-time traffic and weather, music with the sound of your voice, and your text messages read aloud. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
I operate a convenience store in a residential neighborhood. Some customers ask for credit for a soda, pack of cigarettes, headphones, etc. when they're broke, but have amnesia when it comes to paying their debt. To avoid a confrontation and maybe losing a customer, may I overcharge them by a small amount on future purchases, just 50 cents or so, until I get my money back? Fouad Muthana, The Bronx.
Your plan is ingenious, harms nobody, and makes me queasy. Or would if the stomach were the organ of morality. The system of gradually paying off a debt is a layaway plan, not a lie-away plan. It is wrong to engage in deceptive billing, even to reclaim money you are owed. I do think you're onto a genuinely useful idea, one that would benefit both you and your customers. It may well be easier for them to pay off these loans in tiny increments, but that's an arrangement they must explicitly agree to. Why not propose it when they request credit? Tell them it is store policy, a potent phrase, store policy, to add 50 cents to each subsequent bill until their debt is cleared. That way, everybody knows what they're getting into, and you're spared an ugly altercation when someone accuses you of overcharging. Some people may reject this offer and storm off, sputtering and fuming. But how much of a customer have you lost if that person seldom pays for his purchases? Update. Muthanna proposed this plan to a few people who accepted it, but he still faces the more daunting challenge of customers who deny they even owe him money. This week's questions were read by writer and actor Anna Fishbein, whose solo show, Sex in Mommyville, opens on August 18th at the Flea Theater. You can send your questions to ethicist@nytimes.com, unless, of course, Newt Gingrich or the ADL think you're too close to Ground Zero to allow that sort of thing.